and welcome to Wonder Pod, episode 151. The start of something a little different, at least this week. We'll be talking non-video game topics. Yes, we are aware that this is the first day of PAX East. You cannot say that fast. There's just no possible way to do it unless you're the Micro Machines guy. But we are going to do a quick a what we've been playing, and then we've got some other topics for you. But joining me this week, as they always do, is Glacinator.
Yes, hello. Still here as usual. Not 100%, but like I said, I am here.
Also joining us this week, as he always does, it's John.
Hey, hey, everybody. I've only got one thing to say. DuckTales, woo-hoo.
Is that confirmed? I saw the
rumors. Yes, I saw that post. I
saw
so
the
excited.
Rumors flying around on my Twitter, and people all happy about a cartoon that came out how long ago?
Oh, that was early 90s, late 80s. But the game, the HD remaster of DuckTales is a go by way forward.
Yeah, it's like DuckTales Paper Mario.
It's amazing to me the stuff that just completely misses me. I had no idea this game existed. I had no idea it had the nerd love that it did. And I had no idea they were thinking about making and now making a remake. Twitter, you could say what you want about Twitter, but it has its uses. I saw that and I went, DuckTales? I mean, I like the cartoon, don't get me wrong. It's like, what? But that's one of those I was a PC gamer things, I think. It was a console title.
Yeah, DuckTales was a game that I rented when I was a kid for my NES. And yeah, it's definitely one of the best platformers, you know, of that era and that generation, and it's just fantastic top to bottom. And I'm very happy to see it getting a revival. Disney's getting their act together in some of their classic franchises. Apparently, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers would be coming after that.
Ooh,
man. See, this is a problem with the way my brain works. So what was it? Chippendale Rescue Rapist, I think, is what one of the Penny Arcade guys called them. Well, his wife had a picture taken with the mascot ones.
That's right. I remember that.
So, yeah, and that was the first thing that popped into my head, and that's just wrong on so many levels, and now it's on tape. Let's segue. Glacinator, I know you've been sick. I know you've been working. That's why I'll throw to you first. What have you been playing this week?
I actually had played a new game this week, surprisingly, but it is one that's been talked on the show about on the show before, so I won't talk too long, and that is The Cave, which John, I think, talked about last week, and it was free on PS Plus this week, so I downloaded it on my friend's PlayStation, and I played maybe for about 2 hours. It's really interesting. I really like how the game looks, more importantly. It's a 2D platformer, but it has, like, you know, it's 3D looking. And it's just a nice change of pace in terms of how things look. It's sort of moody, but at the same time really happy. I won't say too much about the game since you heard about it last week. I just wanted to clarify some things. What three people did you choose, John, when you started out?
My first trio was the knight, the twins, and the scientist.
Okay, and do you know if, like, the levels, like, change based on...
Yep, I think during the course of the game you hit, let's say there's six different, you know, levels within the cave. Three of the six will be tailored to the particular character. So my knight had a quest with a dragon involved, you know. But if I picked the hillbilly, there's something to do with a love interest in his particular level, for example. But you won't be able to access it because you don't have the hillbilly you can't access it because his ability is to hold his breath underneath water.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
That means you can't, you know, you can't swim that distance to do the level.
Okay, because I had gone past the fire area, which I guess was where the knights is.
Yep.
It looked like a castle thing. And I didn't know if, like, I was supposed to go down there or not, but I couldn't figure out how to go down there. But I did get to the hillbillies area.
So who were your trio?
I chose the hillbilly, the two twins, and the monk.
And the monk, yeah. There's a point where you get to the monk's level, and you can't do it because you don't have his ability.
Okay, I just didn't know if like the levels like actually like moved, like changed in terms of like who you chose, or if it was just set like that. I mean, but that's okay anyway. So,
Yeah. It's dynamic in that way. Yeah.
okay, I
Wait,
mean,
I got a question.
sure.
You have monks,
Yeah, there's
hillbillies, knights,
undead twins.
undead twins,
a time traveler,
a time traveler,
an adventurer,
an adventurer,
and
I think there's one more.
I said a scientist.
No, that's it.
That's it.
Well, it wasn't on my radar, but if you got hillbillies and knights in the same game, it can't be going wrong too many places. I guess I'll have to give, as much as I've ripped on Schaefer some in the past on this show, I guess I'll have to throw some more money at
Yeah,
him.
it's pretty good. And one thing that I really like about it is that like it sort of has the like narration that like Portal and like Quantum Conundrum have, with the weird narrator saying stuff. And he says some pretty amusing things, It's just nice to listen to, nice to play.
Cool.
So yeah, I mean, other than that, I've just been playing more Awesomenauts. I mean, I'm sure you don't want to hear about that anymore. Actually, before the show, I just bought it again, because I'm an idiot. I bought it again on Steam. It's on sale right now for $5. So if you like what I've said about it, because I know you're tired of me talking about it and you want to buy it, it's on Steam for cheap right now. So I would suggest it for anyone. It's a lot of fun. So that's what I've been playing this week. I'll keep it short.
John. What you got?
I'm going to briefly mention that I finished The Cave with my trio. It's a very open-ended ending. Like you kind of get to the end and you find out whether they made up for their evil. Each character has done something that's wrong, and you find out whether or not you made up for your evil way or not, and what was the full repercussion of their choice. And then you can replay the game with as different trios and experience different endings and different levels. There is a bit of overlap between them. So like I said, if there's like let's say there's six, maybe it's five, but if there's six, three are tailored to the individual characters, but then there will be a couple that are common every time you play. So it's dynamic, but it's not that dynamic. So that's all. I enjoyed it. I'm not going to jump in with a new trio right away, but I think it's something that you could come back to and put a few hours in and do a playthrough and then move on, come back again. So pretty cool that way. Peter and I finished Kirby's Epic Yarn, and which was a lot of fun. He was very proud of himself beating each boss. And since then, he's very much gotten very adept at playing it. Like he doesn't need me hardly as much to help him through the levels. Like he's really figured out how the controls and getting around. Like even something as tricky as getting on a ledge, pulling the string on an umbrella, jumping to a ledge to get to that umbrella and up to another ledge before the umbrella shrinks. Like for the longest time he couldn't figure that out, but now he's like snap, 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 no problem, goes. He's even beating bosses on his own. And the funny tidbit about all this is that when Wanda plays with him, like if I'm not home or something, Wanda hasn't played the game, so she's not great at doing things efficiently. And he goes, "Mom, no, you've gotta get the you gotta go up there, Mom." And Wanda's, "I don't know how to get up there." So it's pretty funny. He turned 3 yesterday, so. Yeah, he's 3-year-olds are very opinionated, so it's pretty funny. And I haven't, other than those two, I haven't played a whole lot except for one iPhone game. It just came out. It's called Ridiculous Fishing, and it's really fun and really simple. Basically, you're a fisherman in the water, but and you tap the screen and you cast your lure. And what you have to do is tilt your phone side to side, or iPad or whatever, tilt it side to side and try to avoid, and strangely enough, try to avoid the fish as your lure is going down, trying to get as deep as possible to the bottom of the, not necessarily to the bottom of the ocean, but as far as you can get. And then once you hook a fish, then the fisherman starts reeling it in, and the lure starts going back up. So then, your point of your what you're trying to do is tilt the phone to catch as many fish as you can, while avoiding, let's say, jellyfish, and because you want to avoid the jellyfish because they cost you money, because each of the fish has a different value, and you're trying to rack up more money as most money as possible. And so what it ends up kind of being is this kind of weird, tilty, almost like a shoot 'em up, trying to avoid like a bullet hell going through. When the lure goes down, and then when the lure comes up, you're just doing the opposite. But what's kind of funny is that at the end, when you pull the lure and the fish come up out of the water, you tap the screen on each fish, and you're basically the fisherman pulls out a gun and starts shooting the fish out of the air. And for every fish you shoot, you get money for it. And by collecting that, and that's pretty satisfying stuff. So as you collect more money, you can use that money to buy, of course, upgrades. So you start out with a hunting gun, and then you move up to like an Uzi and a shotgun and a chain gun. Like, it all escalates, and other upgrades, like longer fishing line, different lures. Like, there's a funny one that I have. It's a toaster, and what happens is a toaster is tied to your string right above your lure, so that when if you hit a fish, he gets electrocuted. So it kind of offers you a second chance to keep going deeper into the water. You also get a chainsaw attached to your lure, so that you just basically just plow through the fish as you go down further, 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 trying to reach as far as you can go. So it's pretty fun, all the different things you can upgrade. It's a really funny game too, because the fisherman has this, basically, an iPad in his hand, or they call it his phone, but it's kind of too big to be a phone. But on it, there's things like a Fishopedia that kind of give you stats about each fish, how much they're worth, what they're all about. The store is there for your upgrades, and there's also a map that kind of shows you all the areas. And then this little thing they added on, it's basically Twitter, but it's called Birder. And in Birder, you get tweets from friends and what I think are actually marine birds that are flying around that see you doing this stuff, and they see you upgrade, your gun, and then you get a tweet that says from somebody that goes chick chick boom, and nice shot, that kind of stuff. So it's you unlock and you get more and more stuff the more you play, and it's one of those kinds of games where you get better and better at the more you play. It's so it has that, and you get scores, and well, the leaderboard really only applies to the final level, because the final level is basically bottomless, and it's just how deep can you go, how much money can you get, and that's your score. It'd be cool if you had leaderboards for all the areas, but then again, how well you do is kind of based on how many upgrades you have and how many you have equipped and stuff. So I kind of understand where we're just focusing on the bottomless one goes. But yeah, it's I think it's like $2.99, which is not too bad. It's not $1, but I'm sure it'll be on sale for Pat at some point. But I really recommend it. It's kind of one of those highly addictive games that, you just keep going back to, and that's what I keep finding myself doing. And that's it. I thought I remembered another game, but I don't. So yeah, that's it.
Been playing through Just Cause 2 again, mostly because it's just mindless fun at this point. I've beaten it so many times. More Worm Online, obviously, that hasn't changed a bit and probably won't. And then, Tuesday or Wednesday, I think, I came across a game called Divinity 2 on my Google Plus, and somebody said it reminded them of a couple games I liked. So I looked for a copy of it. I can only find a copy of it on Amazon. It was way more expensive than I wanted to pay. And I went, hey, good old games.com. Let's see if they got it. And sure enough, they had a digital copy of what's known as the developer's cut for, I think it was like $19.99. Well, I clicked on it, figured, I'll pay $20. They had a deal going that involved Divinity 2, where you could pick any five games and essentially pay somewhere between, I think, like 20 and 25 bucks for them. So it's, so in the effort to save a dollar, I spent 19 bucks and I got the following games. Deponia, Alan Wake, Alan Wake's American Nightmare, Divinity 2 Developers Cut, and Legends of Grimrock. Not Grimlock. I did that kind of on purpose and then kind of because I typed too fast. For those of you that are on our Facebook. All for 19 bucks USD. Now, two things I need to tell you. One, that was a pretty damn good deal and it's going to take me forever to get through them, but I'm no longer caring about the pile of shame. Fuck it. I'll play them when I get time. Two, if you use goodoldgames.com, which I don't think too many in our audience do, I'm pretty sure I might be the only one. It appears because they're overseas now, some banks are charging a fee of about 50 cents to order from goodoldgames.com. I wouldn't say it should stop you. Because they are quote-unquote DRM-free, they put a lot of games on there that you will never find anyplace else. Legally, at least. You know, I totally support that, but it is something to be aware of. Anyways, Divinity 2. I haven't played it a ton yet. I've been trying to play it somewhat the most this week, just so I could give you guys a good feel for it. It's your standard, pretty much, hack-and-slash RPG. The downside is, it's got some graphical glitches that make it a little bit of a pain. It's not broken, but it may test your patience. Now, here's the upside. I like what I'm seeing of the story so far. Without giving away any spoilers, within the first like 25 minutes or maybe 2 hours of gameplay, you get a twist that is kind of like really a hard swerve twist. I was pretty impressed. And it made me want to get through some of the glitches and nuisances I'm having with it just to see where this story goes and how it continues. I like what I'm seeing of it. Because it's the developer's cut, you have access to the developer's console, which means you can essentially cheat, I suppose. But there are things you can do that can make your experience a little better if you're having issues with it. I want to say it's the game's fault, but given that my computer can't be a piece of shit yet, can it? It's not even a year old. It's really difficult to tell, and I know some people just abhor cheating, even if it's in single player. But, you know, if it's going to help me to enjoy the game, screw it. It's pretty much my attitude, especially since the graphics are okay. There's really nothing new added to the RPG mechanic. It's really just the story is what's most compelling to me. It kind of reminds me a little bit of Two Worlds 2, although I'm finding it easier to get used to it faster than I did with Two Worlds 2, another RPG I have not yet beaten. And finally, what I want to bring up to the guys here when I get done, I have been involved in the Defiance beta. What's Defiance, you ask? Well, I didn't get in on the really super early beta, but I did get in on the current one that's going on, and the non-disclosure agreement was up at 8 a.m. this morning, so I can tell you. Defiance is essentially a kind of sci-fi shooter MMO. Now, I can just almost hear the groans coming from the audience, and we're just recording this. But bear with me. It's essentially an FPS MMO, right, at first. I played it quite a bit this morning when the beta kicked off. I had some, of course, you know, lag issues, 57,000 people trying to cram themselves headfirst into it at once issues. I'm a little concerned that I may be having some resource issues, like my computer's not enough of a beast. The good news is it will be coming out on Xbox and PS3, right, or 360 and PS3, which then probably makes you wonder, wait, an MMO coming out for the 360 and PS3? Ah, but that's where you get to the kind of rub. Now, when you're just playing the game normally, it's pretty much an MMO. I like the graphics, look really good. Story seems fairly interesting, although I have to admit I did not get a ton of time to play it earlier today due to other issues that were going on. But I got enough time in to know that I think I'm going to kind of like the story. I think I'm going to kind of like the way it's set up. There are vehicles in it. You got guns. You got all the kind of different classes that you kind of see in a first-person shooter. But then you have what's known as the player versus player aspect. Now, this is different. Let's not even call it player versus player. Let's call it MMO deathmatch. Or even just deathmatch. Essentially, when you go into what's known as these player versus player instances, as I understand them, I have not had a chance to do it. I'm hoping to get some time with some of my guild buddies this weekend to do it. You're essentially going in to a deathmatch situation like you would in Halo, like you would in COD, like you would in Battlefield. The thing is any points, skills, levels, weapons you earn while you're doing these deathmatch instances translate directly to the larger game. What I think Trion Worlds, who developed Defiance, is going for is they're going to give you two options to level up your character. Essentially, and don't quote me on this, and I will correct it if I find it out to be wrong. Essentially, you could spend most of your time in these deathmatch and other objective type instances and level up your character to the top level without ever having to do the MMORPG style stuff. Play it with your buddies, that kind of thing. It looks like they're really attempting to split down the middle between FPS and MMO, which I am highly curious about, and I think I'm going to end up endorsing. And also what I'd like to point out, and this is pure speculation, is this game may give me, or may give gamers at large, a better idea of what Bungie's doing with Destiny. Now that is pure out-of-the-ass speculation. Don't take it as anything more than that. But Defiance, what I've played of it so far, I like it. Even if you hardcore FPS gamer, non-MMO gamers were willing to venture into the MMO side, I really liked the way they told you what to do. It was simple. It was easy to understand. There didn't seem to be a ton of stuff to level up and dick around with. Your mission objectives were very clearly marked on the map. A lot like an FPS single player, it gave you a big icon in the air, told you exactly how many meters you were from your objective. There are plenty of enemies running around for you to shoot. If I get enough info, I'll write about it on the site, because there were so many people trying to log on and it was so laggy at times. It was really difficult for me to be able to play it and enjoy it and get a better sense of what it is. Now, gentlemen, Glacinator, we'll start with you. With that best as I can description, and this being on 360, what are your thoughts on it? Of something that is an MMO, but you could literally spend your whole entire time in a Halo multiplayer deathmatch and get the same rewards or similar rewards to what the full-blown MMO guys are doing.
Ooh, gee, that's a loaded question. I mean, like what you said, as long as you're in the sort of a deathmatch setting and you don't really realize the whole larger scope of it and you're enjoying it, I guess it's sort of like blissful ignorance in a way, but not really ignorance, just, that's what I prefer doing more so than like being in party raids or whatever you want to call it. So, I mean, as long as the gameplay of the MMO appeals to me or someone that likes deathmatches, I guess, if you want to just stay on the deathmatch idea, then I guess I can see that working more so overall. That might not answer you at all, but...
Well, no, it does to a certain extent, but what I think it would do for you is it might get you over the skepticism of the whole raid concept, because I wrote about this and I didn't like it, so I'm revising it, i.e. it's probably never going to see the light of day. there's, and I've talked about it a little bit on the podcast, there's just no real difference between a round of FPS or a night of FPS, you know, multiplayer, and when you go dungeon raiding. You know, once your character's fully leveled up, you have nothing else to do except go hit things. You see what I'm saying? So I'm kind of wondering if this isn't going to maybe educate FPS gamers a little bit.
A gateway drug?
I don't think it'd be a full-blown gateway drug, because I really don't see you becoming a paladin and tanking in Guild Wars 2 dungeons.
No.
Just from one FPS game. But I think it would give you a better sense of it, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really kind of waiting until they get this beta done so they get more information. Because like right now, they're not even giving out the basic specs you need for this on PC. See, and I'm left with kind of a rough choice. I know plenty of people that are going to play it on PC from my Google Plus and Twitter social media. But, you know, is anybody going to actually pick it up on console and make it worth my while? You see what I'm saying? And I don't think it could be super massive as like something like Guild Wars or WoW or Rift, Tryon Worlds' other big title, because I don't know how you'd work that architecture into a console setting. John, this is more of an up your alley question. You both like RPGs, and you're not totally against, or you have a fondness for, you know, kind of multiplayer deathmatch, that kind of stuff. A game that mixes them both, to the best of our knowledge right now, again. But that seems to be what Tryon's going for. Mm-hmm. What's your thoughts?
I think it's kind of cool, like what you're saying about, you know, you're a small part of a much larger scale, and like if there's some way to, like if being aware and conscious of the multiplayer of the, like you're talking about raids and how, you know, some people don't want to, you know, do raids, they just want to be part of the action. Like if they can harness that and still give you the feeling of your impact on the overall, you know, world or the, you know, the scene, however you want to put it, you know, it's a cool idea. Like you're part of a bigger picture than just this one little fight in front of you, even though, you know, at the surface, that's all you're really doing, but there's an impact overall, you know.
Right. I'm reading the, well, I mean, and again, I don't think necessarily. I think if I gave Glacinator a basic education or a basic quick rundown of how to do it, and gave him a fully leveled, all you got to do is point and click. Like my Guild Wars character, my Guild Wars Ranger, that's fully leveled, got some of the best armor in the game, so on and so forth. All you got to do is point and click and listen to the, you know, the guy running your raid.
Mm-hmm.
I think he would have fun with it, because it's really just not, there's no thinking to it per se. Especially if you're running with the guild combat wombats that I'm with now, that one of the main guild dudes, Dusty, he's awesome. And he's just so laid back, and he's just like, okay guys, we got to do this and this, and that's it. You know, and you're talking on headsets like you would an Xbox Live.
Mm-hmm.
I think what it's trying to do is take out the grind that Glacinator and Pat and others have said just absolutely they abhor. And to a certain extent, I understand. I don't dislike it, but it still gets on my nerves at times. Here, let me see if I can, without slaughtering it too badly, I can read something to you guys real quick. I picked it up on PCGamer.com. This is taken from after the intro, so there you go. Players in Defiance are Ark Hunters, scavengers, mercenaries that scrounge up alien tech to sell to their benefactors who have taken to hiring multiple teams for the same job. This is talking about the player versus player. To create some healthy competition, this is the premise behind the PvP, which will include both open-world session-based conflict and instance format. And the instanced format I got to check out, which is essentially the deathmatch I was talking about. It seemed more or less like your typical class-based deathmatch. The devs promise, however, that multiple objective modes will be available on top of deathmatch, and the classes were just there for the sake of the demo. In the actual game, you'll have total freedom to pick the guns and skills you want from a wide selection of randomly generated loot, which is pretty typical MMO. As usual, all the suspects were there. You know, the sniper, the machine gun guy. Let's see, do they got a medic? That kind of thing. The rewards that you earn in conflict mode will be transferable back to the overworld, which is the larger MMO world, and vice versa. While self-contained, Tryon assures us that the conflict maps will be big. The one we played seemed about equal in size to the largest Team Fortress 2 arenas, and was described as the smallest of those planned for the launch. Of what I was able to explore, bludgeon and shoot, Defiance multiplayer is shaping up to be a refined shooter with lots of gameplay options, sure to please those fatigued by tab target MMO combat. How these mechanics will play out in an alien-infested dynamic event-driven overworld, well, we'll just have to wait and see. And from what little I've seen, I'd say that they're probably going to carry over pretty well. So, I mean, going off that little bit, it seems like to me they're trying to split it all up so you can pick and choose what you want. But, I don't know, Glacia. When it gets a little closer, we'll just have to see what it's spec'd for on the 360.
Yeah, I'll have my eye on it for sure.
Because, I mean, it's something that you would think, you know, I mean, they can't make it a giant MMO-sized mess, you know, like the MMOs I'm used to playing, if it's going to be on the consoles. Can they, guys? Or do you have either of you have a different take?
It just seems, I mean, I guess it might depend on what console it's going to be on. When is it supposed to come out?
Sorry, mute button. I haven't actually looked up its release date. I think this is the last beta weekend, so probably
pretty soon. Then.
Yeah.
Okay, so this wouldn't be pushed to the next gen.
Probably not. No. April 2nd.
Oh, that soon. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Let's see. Oh, balls. Oh, that's right. That site no longer exists. Let's see what Rock Paper Shotgun has here. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be soon. Yeah. Sorry. I just saw a little hitch in the giddy up. It looks like it's going to be subscription based, which I had not read.
Oh.
Well, guess that's a pass for me.
That was quick change of heart right there.
Well, that's the fun of doing this live on the air and you guys listening to a lot of ums and stuff while I figure it out. I had not heard that. So they're not going to the Guild Wars style, buy it and you can pick and choose what you want to buy. Huh. Well, let's close with this and then we'll move on to stuff that's not gaming. Does that make you think maybe that's what Bungie's trying to do, except let's hope it doesn't have subscription fees and all that crap, Glacinator? Maybe they're trying to tread that line, too, and Tryon Worlds is just kind of beat them out the gate?
I do think that the subscription thing is a big deal, though. You know, has Bungie said anything about subscription? I assume they're not having one.
I haven't. Bungie hasn't said anything. They're pulling
the... That's true. We already complained about that. But, I mean, I'm assuming that they're not, because you're already paying for Xbox Live. And so you'd be paying for Xbox Live and then this on top of that? That's just...
Hey, I use Netflix on Xbox Live. That's a subscription.
That's true, but Netflix is like... I feel like I can justify a Netflix purchase, because it's not just on
Xbox
Live.
Oh, boy, I need to learn how to read the English language. There is no subscription. I got the words misplaced.
Oh, okay, now we're interested again.
Hey, live podcasting. Not as easy as it looks, is it, people? Sorry.
So many emotions.
I deeply apologize about that. I was trying to scan and talk, and that just doesn't work. So we're back on again. So that probably means Bungie's probably not going to do it either. John, do you think that this is maybe what Bungie's shooting for, given what tiny little bit we know?
It certainly seems by the hints, like this, the big picture descriptions, that nothing too specific, you know, that it might be going that way. Yeah.
Now, I'll have to wait and see. And like I said, if I get just enough done with the beta, after the mess I just made of that, I'll probably at least do a little quick write up and telling you the basics. They've been kind of Tryon's like that, though. I played one of their older MMOs. I mean, they won't tell you the PC specs and all this other garbage. They're pretty close to the vest. So I'll do a little more research. But the concept is the key, and it's one that may be bridging the gap for non-MMO fans to maybe be able to get in with their buddies and enjoy a little. And it's a shooter, too. So, I mean, that kind of makes it a little easier. Let's move on. Today at PAX East, there was a collectible card game announced called Hearthstone. I don't really have any details on it. I'll be damned if I'm looking up another article to slaughter and get wrong on the air. It's basically a collectible card game involving World of Warcraft, which made me realize that we did not talk about collectible card games, and they're kind of a thing, and there's kind of video game formats of them. I kind of own two or three. So to add to last week's show, I just wanted to ask either of you, Magic the Gathering, then that's really the only one I can think of off the top of my head outside of this new Hearthstone. I think there's one other WoW one. Have either of you ever wandered into the collectible card game? And I just realized one that Glacinator's going to say.
I'm waiting here with anticipation to say it.
Yeah, that's why I'm going to kick to John first, make you drools more.
No.
I totally forgot about it, too. That's the funny part. I totally didn't think about that one. And if you haven't figured it out at home by now, well, you don't listen to this show much. John, do you play any of them?
No, I actually do not. I think I sat in on a Magic game twice back when I was in university, but for whatever reason, that when they first came into sort of prominence, I just wasn't around for it. Like, it's the same, maybe the same reason why I never played an N64 game, because I was too busy, getting drunk and studying. You know what I mean? Like, or N64, PS1, like even the early PS2, like that whole generation, I'm kind of missed out on. And the card games that when they got really popular, it was the same thing. Nothing wrong with them. I just wasn't around.
Well, they also kind of go into the tabletop category. I cannot think of that game I picked up on Steam during a holiday sale, but it's kind of card-ish based. Mm-hmm. It was that RPG. There's been an ass ton of them, and oh fuck it, who cares?
Just before you move on, I will say that our old buddy Roger is quite the Magic player, and I'm sure he will certainly enjoy any discussion that we have here about it.
See, that's the thing. That's kind of what stinks about the collectible card games. Unless we wanted to rig up like three webcams, mostly so you could catch me attempting to cheat, because I cannot be trusted. Couldn't do that one live on air.
Well, unless you played like Magic on there's a Duel of the Planeswalkers or something like that. Is an online Magic game. You get a deck and stuff and.
Ooh.
Like Steam.
Maybe that's what we could do for our Steam. Yeah. Has that. That's what Duel of the Planes was. I've never even bothered to look at those.
Yeah, that's Magic the Gathering stuff.
Yeah, the problem is it probably won't be available for Mac, and then we're boned.
Mm. Nope.
Yeah, but I think it's on 360.
Yeah, it is. That's right.
I think it's on 360. Anyways, I'm surprised we haven't heard a over on the right hand side of my screen. Glacinator, I'm thinking maybe you've played a collectible card game. Maybe.
Yeah, take a wild jab,
You know, when I thought of this, I was thinking of like Magic the Gathering and this new WoW game. I totally forgot Pokemon until we sat down to start talking about it.
Yes, if you were a child in the 90s, Pokemon cards were like the frickin' contraband of school. Like you, like underground drug deals. Like that's what it was. And I still have more than I'm willing to admit with me right now. So I have all the first 150, And yes, I do have a holographic Charizard. Ooh. I have the second generation as well. I think all of them too. I sort of stopped after the third generation. Around that time, I realized that, if I wanted to have some sort of social life, I'd probably have to stop spending all my money on this, on these things. But I do still have them at my house. I have a good bunch of stacks of them. I like looking through them sometimes, and sometimes you can find amusing little things that the artists hid in the card pictures. I found a really funny one the other a few, last summer, and some of the cards I have are in Japanese and some are in English, and for the most part, the cards are the same, except for like the text is different. It's in Japanese, but I was looking through the pictures, and there's this one. Or through the cards, and there's this one card of this Pokemon called Grimer. And Grimer is basically this pink sludge. He's supposed to be like toxic waste. And the picture on the card, he's opening up a sewer drain, like in the street, and you just see some girl's leg, like walking by. So it's like he's like opening up this thing in the middle of the street, like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles or something. And in the American version, he's just opening it up, looking forward. But in the Japanese version, it looks exactly the same, except for his pupils, his eyes are looking up the girl's skirt. And like you could like I held them next to each other. I was like, oh my gosh. Some poor person like noticed this and is like, we're gonna have to change this for American audiences. This is not appropriate. It's one of the funniest pictures I've ever taken in my life. I'm sure I have it here somewhere. I'll probably find it real quick. But I have all kinds of crazy stories about Pokemon cards, them being the cards themselves or having interactions with people in the schoolyard over fights. Blood was drawn over these things, and I'll tell you what. So, if you want to hear any interesting stories, I definitely do have them.
Did you ever get outside of Pokemon, though, or was it all Pokemon the cards and then the early games where you're essentially collecting the cards again and things of that nature?
I never really played Magic. There's this game that my friend has I've been playing for like the past semester. It's called, I think it's called Dominion, maybe? It's not really a collectible card game, but it is a card game. It is sort of magic based because you do have like elements that you put on people to level them up.
That's straight. Yeah, that, for some reason that's ringing a bell, but I'm not entirely sure why. Okay, and a final note, and then we're going to move on to another segment. John, Garbage Pail Kids?
I remember them. I didn't collect them, but I remember them.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Garbage Pail Kids, Glacinator. There, if you even tried to
I've heard
release.
of them. Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah, if you even tried to release these today, there'd be so many lawsuits and
Oh,
offended
it'd be terrible.
people.
Oh, it'd be huge, yeah.
But they were like the Pokemon of our generation, except almost as crude as that. Almost more crude than that Japanese Pokemon card you're talking about.
Yes, I just posted the link in the Skype chat if you want to check it out.
Oh, good Lord. So the bait is so one of your first Pokemon from the Japanese collection is a liquid pedophile. That's
Yeah,
nice.
his arm even looks like a.
You know what? I'm surprised McDonald's didn't sue them. It looks like a pedophilic grimace. You guys have no
Yeah,
idea.
that's a little bit. Yeah, it does.
It does a bit.
Very
I
much,
just ruined a
yeah.
bunch of people's childhoods. That might become the banner for this week. Oh, shit. This show's just a train wreck tonight. I love it. Okay, moving on. Now, we're moving on to a couple old news is old. I know, but we were a gaming specific podcast. Said that earlier in the intro. Rewind if you need to. Iron Man 3 trailer. I think it came out originally at the Super Bowl. It was the first time I saw it. I have not seen either of the first two Iron Mans. I know. Send your hate mail. Revoke my nerd card. Whatever. So, the first part of the segment, you're not going to hear anything from me. You're going to hear John and Glacinator, who are both fans of the Iron Man movies, have seen both the first two. John, you can handle this however you want, and you and Glacinator BS about it.
Just talk about Iron Man in general, the flick.
Just kind of go over the third trailer. What were your likes, dislikes? Did it make you more excited, less excited, that
Oh
kind of thing?
yeah. So like, what I really liked about Iron Man 3 trailer, it kind of it was a whole lot. It was a really big sizzle reel, really. And in particular, at the end, you got a sneak little peek at all the various Iron Man armors in action. Like, there's this little spot where Tony Stark and Rhodes are, you know, standing back, and Tony says something to the effect of, "Time to send in my boys, or my boys are coming," or something like that. And all these armors just fly in, just whoosh in, and you know, there they are, all, you know, ready to, you know, whatever the scene is going to be, whatever the big fight is going to be. But they're all there, different styles, different types, different purposes. And then you see this one shot of this one suit that's really big and bulky that's busting through a wall, and it's, you know, in my mind and my friends who have seen it, we think it's the Hulkbuster armor that Tony Stark uses to take on the Hulk, because, you know, because the power level is just so imbalanced, he needs a souped up armor just to take him on. So yeah, for me that was the you know, the big money shot of that trailer, and left an impression in terms of you know, how crazy this one could get. What did you think, Glaze?
I didn't know there was a new one. I thought we were talking about the one that came out last October. I'm watching the new one right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I see you're talking about the suits. I remember they had shown some of the suits earlier. I never read.
They've shown them, like you know, in the vault, if you will.
Yeah. I never read Iron Man, so I mean, I don't really know about all the suits. I mean, but they all look really cool.
Yeah,
there's like,
cool.
Is that like that Captain? That's like the Captain America themed one. What is that? It was like red, white, and blue.
Well, the thing about Iron that red, white, and blue suit, I think in the context of the movie, it's War Machine suit,
okay,
you know, dolled up. But in the context of the comics, what's interesting was that when Norman Osborn became the head of the Thunderbolts. And then after that, the Dark Avengers, after the regular Avengers were kind of given the boot, he became the Iron Man of the Dark Avengers, and Norman Osborn became the Iron Patriot, with the full red, white, and blue. So I, that being said, I am 99.9% confident that Norman Osborn is not in Iron Man 3. Mostly because Spider-Man is a Sony franchise, and so, you know, Marvel can't touch it unless they've brokered some deal. But, you know, I mean, the main villain of Iron Man 3 is the Mandarin, and I wouldn't be surprised if you see the Mandarin get inside an Iron Man suit. You know, everybody seems to at some point. So, but yeah, I just don't think it's going to be Norman Osborn himself, which would be just friggin' wicked, because it's, you know, more crossover between movies is, you know, I love that shit, but yeah, I don't think it's him.
Do you think anyone will show up from any of the other movies?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if you see I wouldn't be surprised if you see Bruce Banner, like, around there, because I mean, at the end of the Avengers, he and Tony kind of drive off in the same car, you know. I was hoping that scene that would lead to, you know, the adventures of Tony and Bruce running around being this cool dudes all the time and beating the piss out of stuff when they suit up. So I'm hoping that you might get a Bruce Banner cameo, because I think they've basically confirmed that the Hulk is not getting a Hulk 2, at least just yet. But yet the guy who played him. Shoot. Anyway, the guy who's playing Bruce Banner now from the Avengers is signed on for like a 5 or 6 picture deal. So, you know, he's not going to sign on for 5 or 6 Avengers movies. I'm assuming he's going to show up in other ones. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if you see him show up.
Okay. Because I think that's my favorite part about the Marvel movies is all the cross references. You know, it's just fun to see people show up.
Yeah, and see, the thing is, if they show up, I would assume they get involved, because, you know, the crossovers have been limited to the, you know, the post credit sequences and you know, fun little nods and winks to other stuff. Like, it would seem to me now, if someone showed up, they might have to get involved in some way, unless that's part of the plan. Maybe it is, but they would have to be, you know, like Captain America shows up in Iron Man 3 when Tony's, you know, apparently at his darkest day because of the Mandarin. You know, he'll help his buddy out, I would assume. You know? So, and then you're into, you know, a different kind of movie. It's not just Iron Man 3. It's a Marvel team up.
Mark Ruffalo is the gentleman that played
Mark Ruffalo. Thank you very much.
I do have to say, as much as I did not see the first two, and I thought originally casting giving the director's chair to Jon Favreau was nuts, given his prior work to the original Iron Man, I think he's still listed as a director, or do I got that wrong? Anyway, Ben Kingsley playing the Mandarin is probably going to be pretty damn good. I like Ben Kingsley a lot. when I saw him, I went, I haven't seen the first two, but I may have to go see this. I think he's going to do a tremendous job. Yeah, Jon Favreau. Yeah, I was correct. I think he's going to do a tremendous job as the Mandarin. It should be interesting.
Oh. Yeah, they haven't been very cohesive in their hinting about the way they've brought the Mandarin about. Like in the comic books, he has the magical, well, they're magical, but he has the 10 rings on his hands, and you know in Iron Man 1, as you'll find, the group of bad guys who kidnap Tony Stark, you know, there is allusions to some other force who's controlling them, and I'm not going to give it away for you because some of the reveals are pretty good, but there's, you know, you see logos and you know references to the Mandarin just very slightly, but in Iron Man 2 it's not there as much, like even if you're looking for it. But of course, the Avengers, they don't mention it at all. So, and you know, those being the three Iron Man heavy movies, like the Mandarin was supposed to be the big bad, the overarching big bad for Iron Man. And I guess we'll find out more here. But you know, it hasn't quite been as, like, you know how I'm kind of rambling here, but you know how Sauron was the big bad of the Lord of the Rings overall, but yet Saruman was the sub boss, if you will,
right,
the mini boss, if you will. You know, that's what the Mandarin is supposed to be here for Tony Stark.
And if you guys discuss this, you can tell me to shut up because it was obvious I wasn't in front of my computer. Are you guys worried that three is too many, or do you think they still have enough momentum?
You go ahead.
No. I think three is fine. I mean, I really liked one. One was an amazing movie. Two felt really off to me, but I mean, just based on the trailers of three, it looks like they're back in their stride. You know, I mean, who knows? They might even do four. I mean, four might be too much. I mean, they say it's a trilogy, but I mean, based solely on the trailers, I do like where it's going. You know, it's a little bit more dark, but I mean, it still looks like you're gonna have fun with it. You know. And that's what I feel like Iron Man really, the movies at least, really do a good job of, is that it can be really super serious, but really super funny at the same time.
John?
Yeah, I have to agree that two was a good movie, but it wasn't as fun as Iron Man 1. And I don't want them to get too dark. I mean, dark is good. It really, you know, it forwards the character, and which I have no problem with. It's just I want this movie to have that fresh, fun feeling, like coming out going, yeah, you know, that was Iron Man. And I didn't quite get that as much with Iron Man 2, even though some of the characters were quite good. You know, I think Ben Kingsley could make the Mandarin really good, where I kind of thought that Mickey Rourke as Whiplash, they don't call him Whiplash, but he's Whiplash. He felt a little bit flat for me, and you know, so I think the potential is there for a really good flick. I just hope it's more fun.
Well, yeah, I think that's part of my problem with Iron Man out of every Marvel comic character. A rich drunk guy. Rich drunk guys don't get a thing implanted in their chest and save the world. Rich drunk guys play golf. Rich drunk guys go hang out in the Caribbean. I think the premise was just too far-fetched for me. I think it is kind of the
I would recommend that you do watch the first one. I'm not sure how familiar you are with the Tony Stark or like the Iron Man origin, but they do make a compelling case for why a drunk rich guy would want to turn it around.
Well, I'm not saying that it's going to turn me away from it. I could think something is ridiculous and then still go in eyes wide open. The way my brain works. But that was just a thought off the top of my head the first time I ever learned the Iron Man origin stories. You know, I have a theory. I kind of thought this about the second Pirates movie. And yeah, those are just popcorn flicks at best, but I loved all three of them. I haven't seen the current one, the cash grab one. I think all of the number twos are going to drag because they have so much plot forwarding to do if they're intending to just tell a trilogy, which who intends to tell a trilogy anymore? Because you got to have five bloody prequels, video games or movies, five bloody prequels, six after the damn trilogy. I mean, you know, it becomes such a cash grab. Which leads us to kind of comic book movies in general. Are you guys worried at all that there's going to be, you know, some kind of off the cliff or a cliff edge? Because, you know, you have the Batman movies, which dating back to the 60s have kind of gone up and down, up and down, up and down. You know, Spider-Man's been pretty consistent for the most part, I guess. And shit, there was one other one that I was going to mention that...
Superman?
Superman has been real hit or miss and may cause more nerd rage than the Star Wars prequels, given what nerd rage I've seen already from set stills. Hell, you could do a whole show on how the internet's ruining comic book movies. I have never seen so much bitching and griping from two set stills of Catwoman in the newest Batman... in my entire stinking life. Are you guys worried that there's going to be some kind of cliff here with the success of the Avengers, with Iron Man, with Thor, with Captain America? Captain America and Thor I have actually seen, so put away the pitchforks and torches for split second anyway. And I enjoyed thoroughly both of them. Or are you guys just going to take the ride for what it's worth and hope it doesn't have a Batman-like plunge? Glaze.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a point eventually, you know, where it's going to be like, okay, another superhero movie, you know. I mean, we already say that, but I mean, like, they do consistently. How can I say this? They are consistently better than you think they would be. Like, I went into the first Iron Man, like, okay, Iron Man. I don't really like Iron Man, whatever. And I came out like, oh, that was really awesome. And then two, I was like, meh. And you know, Batman's been really good. You know, the new Superman looks really good, but. Like, at the same time, you have these bombs, like Green Lantern, that which just sucked so hard. It was ridiculous.
That's because Ryan Reynolds blows.
But, I mean, I do foresee there being a cliff. I mean, that makes perfect sense to me. I mean, every not necessarily franchise, but themed type of movie has its day in the sun until it has to go away again, and then it can come back out again. So, I mean... I really would like to see Hollywood make their own superhero movies, but we all know that Hollywood has no original ideas anymore. So, yeah.
I have an addition to that statement that a lot of people make. I'm not quite convinced they ever had any. John, same thing.
I think comic book movies should still do okay as long as the right people are handling it. I think the Marvel Comics movies have done so well because they've been under the banner of Marvel Films. And, you know, the way the characters are portrayed, who's casting, who's directing, is all being very, very tightly controlled by Marvel Films, or Marvel Studios, I guess is what it really is. And they kind of took over the reins with Iron Man at the very beginning of that. You know, otherwise, you know, when... most of the superhero movies you've seen, I mean, and there's been more hit and miss in terms of the Marvel properties, they're controlled by, you know, a studio like Fox or Sony. The Spider-Man ones have been good up until Spider-Man 3, when things started getting a little bit too bloated in terms of the story and the characters and that kind of thing. Batman, controlled by Warner Brothers, was doing pretty good until they started having 4 and 5 villains and getting more, you know, just more glitz and glam rather than keeping true to the characters, which is something I think Marvel Studios knows how to do, and knows how to present the film in such a way that the characters, you know, really come to the forefront and relatable. But then like you have Marvel films that haven't been so great as well, like the Punishers and the Ghost Riders, like those things have been laughably bad. You know, they've got another chance with Fantastic Four. They got another chance coming up with Daredevil as well. That was back under their control. So I think the outlook is good, and for Marvel stuff. DC, on the other hand, Chris Nolan seems to know what he's doing with Batman, and which is part of the reason why I think they've let him and his brother have some fingers into the pot of that is Man of Steel. So I think Man of Steel, you know, despite the online bitching and some fun poking, has a really good chance of doing well too. But then you have Green Lantern. Like I find the DC properties a lot more spotty, and I think they need, and they're starting to realize that we need to have this in the right hands of people, or the right people. So I think even Justice League is going back to Nolan. You know, they're giving him enough money to want to do it. So yeah, I got no problem. You know, if the right people are handling it, I think it can work out okay.
Yeah, Daredevil, Elektra, the Fantastic Four. I'm easily entertained, and if it's an entertaining popcorn flick, I will watch it and not let the nerd rage get the best of me, but they all really stunk. I liked The Punisher. Don't ask me why. I was entertained by it. Sue me.
Yeah, I liked it. I mean, there's a lot worse than The Punisher. But it's, you know, in terms of being a major success, it wasn't.
Ghost Rider. That was, I actually was like laughing 45 minutes through Ghost Rider. Literally sitting on my buddy's couch, just laughing my ass off at how ridiculous that movie was.
Yeah. I mean, the Ghost Rider, like, you have to, going in, you kind of have to realize that I think the only reason why Nick Cage is even in that film is because Nick Cage is one of the biggest comic book nerds on the go. And he just wanted to be in a comic book movie, and here's one that he could fund and be in and have his own flick, right?
Not to mention the fact that he owes the IRS like the gross domestic product of a developing nation, and creditors. The thing is, the Ghost Rider character is just badass.
Yeah, totally.
And they wrecked it. You know, Nicolas Cage is not badass. He was good and gone in 60 seconds, but he's not badass. Sorry. It's like casting Screech as Batman. It just doesn't work. okay, finally, and then we'll move on to our last topic that might actually produce some nerd rage in the audience, possibly. Do you see any of these? Just give me one. Just give me a franchise and a quick why. Do you see any of these having the longevity of a Batman or Superman, or will they all pass their course a lot sooner? John?
In terms of, one character having his own multiple set of movies?
Right, for a long period of time. Because we determined, even though I was given... we determined that Batman went back to the 60s after I was given an immense amount of shit for making fun of the Kapow Adam West Batman by Glacinator. So he's gone from the 60s to today, realistically, or more a current generation, 89 to last year, 2012.
Yeah.
Do you see any of the current ones running around repeating that? And Superman's basically the same thing, 70s to whenever they shit out the next one.
Yeah, it's actually a tough question. I mean, the question really becomes, which of these movies could you see getting different treatments and not becoming just a redo I mean, the new Spider-Man. I would have said Spider-Man, because you know I think he, I remember one time the way they talked about Spider-Man is like the first two movies were done so well, and the third one was looking to be really big. And of course, it was a big success, but it was pretty shitty. But they were talking about Spider-Man being like Bond, where that you could have different people playing different Peter Parkers and just keep the story going rather than, you know, doing that origin story over and over and over again. And as it turns out, that's what they did. They rebooted it with a new guy and then did the origin story all over. But I think I would have said Spider-Man, but yeah, with the Avengers, you know, with the Avengers guys, like there hasn't been a lot of change. You know, like the origin story, like maybe maybe I would have said the Hulk. You know, you could put the Hulk in different scenarios, but it all comes down to, you know, they're kind of tight to what they are, you know. Does that make sense?
So not sure.
Not sure. Yeah, I guess.
Glace, you got one?
Can I say Batman, or is that a cop-out answer?
That's even worse than not sure.
Okay, can I explain myself though?
Yeah, sure, what the hell.
Okay, I mean, we've had Batman Camp Batman, we've had Serious Batman, but I don't know if you guys ever watched the Teen Titans TV show on Cartoon Network.
Oh, yes.
Yes, there needs to be a Teen Titans movie or some sort of Batman, or like Batman Beyond, you know, where Batman's not old gritty Batman or old gay Batman. There needs to be a young, I don't know what I'm doing Batman. Sort of like Spider-Man-ish, his, you know, sort of is like his, you know, what's the word that Spider-Man is? Oh my goodness. I sound like such an idiot. I don't know the English language. But Batman needs to be like a teenage version of Batman, like Robin.
A young, awkward version.
Yeah, there needs to be that. And there's a lot of people that don't like that, but I feel like that's really missing in terms of the movies.
I
Like, is it
don't.
really,
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I mean, it's not really represented, I don't think, in the large scheme of things.
I'd trust comic book writers to do that more than Hollywood, because it'd be like he'd find the suit in the back of the alley 10 seconds after his parents were killed. That would be my terror of Hollywood doing a young, awkward Batman.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I totally see it going terribly wrong, but I mean, if it was good, it'd be really, really good.
Hilariously, as much as I'm giving them crap, I have no clue either. It's so hit or miss, and a Batman has such a humanistic, I suppose, origin story that people can identify with, i.e. tragic loss. And Superman is sci-fi enough that it's pretty easy to continue on. You know, the others do run their course, and I don't think we're gonna see an I really don't think we're gonna see another one. And I'll tell you what, Bone Spider-Man, John, to my mind, I can't think of the actor's name that played Doc Ock. And yes, I made slight fun of Willem Dafoe a couple weeks ago, but the performances those two gave in the first two, you're done. You're boned. You're not going to find anybody else. Especially Defoe. I mean, his Goblin was awesome.
Oh, I just thought of one. The X-Men. The X-Men have the ability to, they like there's such a varied cast of characters and different eras that they can put them in. Like they've already proven it somewhat now with X-Men First Class, where they went back in time and showed the early relationship between Xavier and Magneto and stuff. Yeah, I think the X-Men would be the one that they could bring back down the road and do a whole new take.
Yeah, I enjoyed all those. Well, I don't think I've seen First Class that I
Oh,
remember.
watch it. First Class is just as good as X-Men 2. If you haven't seen X-Men 3, avoid X-Men 3.
Hey, if it's women running around in tight leather suits, it'll probably get my interest for an hour and a half. That's about all I'm gonna say about that. Halle Berry in a leather jumpsuit? Sure, why not? I don't care if she's reading the phone book.
Oh, I also have another one. And there were rumors about this being a movie, but it got canceled. It was a Wonder Woman.
Oh yeah, that
Yeah,
got slaughtered for
They just seem to can't to hit. They just seem to not be able to hit the right notes on Wonder Woman to make it work.
And I like, again, tight leather outfit. I like the costume redesign. But apparently, in the entire known universe, and probably parts of it we don't know, I was the only one. By the way, the actor that played, and this is why the Spider-Man movies were boned. You have William Dafoe, who plays that character well, the Goblin character, and then Alfred fucking Molina, I mean, as Doc Ock. Yeah, just call it a night. But yeah, possibly Wonder Woman, but I think X-Men is the most correct or most most likely to make us not look foolish answer on down the road. Okay, let's move on, and this is the last topic for the night, but it's also old news is old news. If you haven't heard, if you've been, we're kind of doing it from, like John said earlier before we started recording, the hindsight is 2020 perspective. Disney bought Lucasfilm. All I needed to see was a headline, and I knew I'd be entertained for 2 weeks. Because as I've stated on this show multiple times, I'm not an uber nerd. I do not, as far as fanboying into one camp or another, I like both Star Wars and Star Trek, which apparently is verboten in some circles. I did not know that. So on and so forth. There was much gnashing of teeth and wailing. I mean, it was really just kind of a rerun of when they bought Marvel, except with Star Wars. Eh, it was probably worse. Star Wars fans are pretty passionate, let's put it that way. Another word would be nuts in some cases. What was you guys' reaction to Disney buying Lucasfilm and the fact that George Lucas let it go when so many people were just ready to string him up by his toenails for the first three movies and how dare he and all that proper stuff? Glace, let's start with you. What was your reaction?
I mean, just going back to what we just talked about, I mean, Disney did such a great job with all the new Marvel movies, you know, that Disney buying Star Wars, I was like, great, you know, finally, you know, they'll do something with it or something will happen with the franchise. I mean, because I'm one of the few people that had seen that seen episode 1, 2, 3 before I saw 4, 5, 6. And 4, 5, 6 were better. And I went into watching the Star Wars movies without all the fanboyism. Like, I just watched them all, like, when I was younger. And I was like, wow, I like 4, 5, 6 a lot better, you know? And so I think that for the most part, the people at Disney understand what makes a good movie. And people complain all the time, like, oh, Disney Channel, oh, Mickey Mouse, da, 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 you know? But, I mean, Disney does a good job with their movies when they know who they're marketing them to. And they did that with the Avengers, you know? They wanted to market, you know, younger kids that were trying to get back. They're trying to get back into the comic book stuff, plus the people that had grown up with that, you know? So I think they understand, you know, with Star Wars, they have to market it to kids as well as with the audience that grew up with it as well. So I think it'll be perfectly fine. I'm looking forward to it.
Well, and make no mistake about it, the Generation 1 nerds like John, myself, and people who are even older than us, if that's technically possible without cryogenics, there's a heavy dose of retro goggles from how young we were when we saw most likely Empire and Jedi. You know, I'm sorry. It has to be. I even have that, you know. So, I mean, you're kind of bucking against the stack deck there to a certain extent. John, what was your reaction to this news?
I thought it was good news. It was surprising news, but it was good news nonetheless. I think Disney, especially with the Marvel stuff, has a track record of letting the right people work on their properties and to good results, and, you know, not yanking on the reins too hard. Like, you know, the Marvel stuff, you know, seems to be working well. I mean, even Disney's use of Pixar and how, you know, Pixar kind of have really led the you know, the rise of you know, 3D animated movies. And, you know, even guys, you know, have learned so much from Pixar, and like the DreamWorks guys are making better movies. Even Disney themselves, who are making 3D animated movies that aren't Pixar ones, are quite good. Like Wreck-It Ralph, for example, was a really good movie, and that wasn't a Pixar movie. It's, you know, they're, but I think, you know, I guess what I'm trying to say is that they're willing to let someone under their umbrella grow and work and do what they do best, and I think that only bodes well for Star Wars.
My take on it is George Lucas is not a dumb man. I think George Lucas did with what he wanted to do with the Star Wars franchise. Right, wrong, or indifferent, he made the six movies he wanted to make, and the era was different between when the first three came out and the next three came out. And so I think he's probably well satisfied with what happened, and he's willing to just say, okay, here you go, Disney. And on top of that, I don't think his fingers are going to be as out of the next three as people think they are. I just don't see it. I wasn't surprised. I honestly was pretty much just apathetic to it. I have some really strong problems that we will attempt not to get into, but that'll probably be thrashed in the next part of this. With some of the Star Wars ardent crowd, when you look at the entire body of the Star Wars universe from books to TV, not counting the holiday special, which I have seen a bootleg copy of, to the movies, to what really set people off, to the difference in eras between the two movies. There's so much information and so many possibilities there in that universe that it's kind of a crapshoot anytime you do anything to tackle Star Wars, and with the fan base that's there, which leads us to their selection of who's going to direct the next three. I was slightly surprised by their selection of J.J. Abrams personally. I thought maybe bringing in someone who was not a geek god might have been a better call, but it's not my call, thank God. What were your thoughts, John, on them bringing in J.J. Abrams to direct these next three?
I pretty well said, thank God, because I think Abrams, being, I think having that person who I think would have the right reverence for the source material, and I think he's the kind of guy who would have an idea of what made it work. He, and plus, given his track record with, basically reviving the Star Trek franchise with the reboot, that he did, I guess it's probably 3 years ago now or whatever it was, with the new one coming out this year. I think it's in the best hands that it probably could have been in, personally.
Glaze.
Yeah, pretty much the same thing. I mean, I really like the new Star Trek movie. I mean, I've never been a big Star Trek fan. I haven't seen any of the TV show. But, I mean, going to that movie and then coming out of it, I was very surprised by how much I liked it. Just like the mood, the atmosphere of it, it felt really like solid. Like solid, good sci-fi. And so I think that taking Star Wars in that way is definitely the way to go.
Did you guys see Super 8?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Did you
No.
like it?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, I that's another movie that makes me think that he's gonna treat it right. Like he, that movie was very much a nod and an homage to the old film. Those that genre of sci-fi film. That Steven Spielberg himself not pioneered, but also had the same sort of reverence for her. So, I think it's in good hands.
I'd recommend watching Super 8, Glaze.
Yeah, I've heard good things about it.
It's a good flick. I don't bow down to any of these directors as gods. I've liked a lot of Spielberg's work. I've liked a lot of Lucas's work. I've liked a lot of what Abrams has done. I've liked a lot of that other geek god royalty fucker that all the nerds put up on a pedestal. What the hell's his name? Not a There's Abrams, and then there's shit. God, this is a night of no English language and no brain working. There's one other that whose name was tossed about for directing Star Wars, and I thought, I mean, it kind of makes sense, but it doesn't, and it's just not coming to me.
Wasn't Zack Snyder, was it?
No. There's two that, like, I always see nerds in social media just absolutely going orgasmatronic over them. Abrams is one, and I cannot think of the damn other. Abrams did Alias, which was TV. Really like that. I actually, he's probably the closest I would give, like, uber nerd love to. But I think he is a brave son of a bitch to direct Star Wars.
Yeah.
Do I think he can handle it? Yes. Do I think he can account for the fan base? Hell no.
Nope.
Two words, people. A concept. A concept that at the time, until I saw the fullness of the nerd rage, was something I glossed over. And one character that was an attempt to replicate C-3PO. And fucking Star Wars fan base just absolutely went ape shit bell ringing crazy. I mean, you are an extremely brave man, Mr. Abrams. That's all I'm going to say. Because it's only going to take one tiny false move and you are from geek god to dumpster diver. And it's not unreasonable. It's entirely possible. It's highly irrational, but it's not unreasonable for Star Wars to have that pedestal. But I just think that that you know, it's just, man, it's a crapshoot. You know, and I'll tell you what, and I'm probably the only other one, and we can kind of segue into this. Actually, okay, timeout, tangent, one that will be in the show. Who did Firefly?
Oh, Whedon.
Thank you. That was the other one I thought they might pick. Thank you. Joss Whedon, the other uber orgasmatronic causing nerd director.
I should have thought of that.
I couldn't, and I see him and Abrams' names at least four times a day going through social media. I think there's cults to them. I seriously do. And I like all their work. You should not take any of that, me making fun of fanboys, as disliking their work. No way, no how. I don't own many DVDs, but I own Firefly for good damn reason. Both and the movie that was takeoff on it, Serenity. Shit. But that's just it. I mean, there's just so many potential landmines in this bastard. And that's where I was going to go before I went off on the tangent. Sorry. I don't know if it's such a good idea bringing back the old actors. I'm going to be the first one to say what I bet you a lot of people are thinking in the back of their heads. Have you seen Carrie Fisher give an interview in the last decade? I might be nuts, but I can't hold a candle to that woman. She's entertaining as hell. I love Carrie Fisher to death, but I think the most stable... And has anybody even seen the actor that played Luke on anything other than The Milk Carton in the last 20 years?
he's done a lot of really great voice acting.
I mean, Harrison Ford has been the most consistent actor of that bunch. Is Billy Dee Williams still alive?
I think he is.
I shook hands with him, so yes, he still is alive.
Well, you know, we have a lot of zombie fans on that are audience members of the show. You sure it wasn't zombie Billy Dee Williams?
He's a lot bigger than how he looked.
They did kind of make him look tiny in the original three, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not Sammy Davis Jr. And there's going to be two people that will get that joke, or that person's name. Maybe three. But what do you guys think about that? I mean, that kind of sent alarm bells off in my head that because of the love for them, I'm afraid if you don't find the right balance of what they do in these three movies, that right there is just going to open up the earth and swallow you alive. Not to mention the fact that you know, how is it going to be like wrangling cats trying to work with these people? I don't think Ford has much of an ego. Everything I've read about him, I have a lot of respect for Harrison Ford, and I've watched pretty much everything he's probably ever done. And he's kind of geek-worldy in his own right. If you've never seen Blade Runner, well, hit yourself in the head with a phone book and go watch it. You know, but what do you guys think about that? What were your thoughts? And it's pretty much all but confirmed. I mean, Fisher was blabbing her mouth about it, and then they finally had to trot out and say, "Yeah, we're probably doing it."
Yeah, Ford is the same way. He kind of blabbed something by accident, and
I missed that news, which is surprising.
Well, I mean, as far as how I reacted, I mean, I think if they're used the right way, I have no problem. Like the way that they brought Leonard Nimoy into the new Star Trek movie and used him kind of like a connector to let the audience make that transition from one generation to the next, and also and yet keep it, you know, cohesive. Like, I think using, you know, if I'm a fantasy right here, I think using, let's say, Leia as she's, you know, one of the high ranking senators in the Senate, you know, like she's there in the universe, but I don't want her to be running around on a speeder with the kids, you know what I mean? Or you know, Han Solo, you know, if he's, you know, General Solo or whatever high ranking place he would have in the you know, Republic military at this point, because he's, you know, who else is there? Same way with Luke. Luke would have to be the head of the Jedi Council at this point, but I want him to be, like, you know, there, but not necessarily the main focus of the Jedi's. You know, like it should be the up and coming people, but they would just exist and be around and, you know, have some interaction, but not be the main drivers of the story.
See, that's what I'm terrified of. You, I had not been able to put it into clear thoughts, but that's what I'm terrified of. You know, it's like it's like, my bursitis is acting up. Can't do a pod race today. I mean, I'm terrified that's what's going to happen. They're going to want to try and showboat. I mean, because like you're talking about with Spock, or with Leonard Nimoy, they did that with the guy that played Scotty. In one of the Star Trek TV shows.
Yeah, they did, and they did it with Bones as well.
Yeah, they did it with Bones. He was really old. Was that TNG?
It was for Bones, yeah.
Yeah, and then I think Scotty might have been Voyager. Where they kind of did a cameo.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but I don't know. Glacinator, what do you think about them bringing back the older... Or does it matter? Well, no, it probably mattered to you if they really plastered him on the screen and made him the main focus of the next three.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it'd be nice to see, you know, a cameo. But honestly, like, if I'm being honest here, I honestly don't care if they're in the movie or not. I mean, because I didn't grow up with them. I mean, I understand that people have a lot of attachment to those actors as those characters. But really, I would just rather them go completely different, you know, same universe, but, you know, all new characters, all new stuff, you know, make it super interesting, you know. You don't have to bog yourself down with trying to make historical references back to older movies, you know. I know I'm in, like, in the 100% minority here, but...
Oh, you're in the same... You and I are sharing the same rowboat up shit creek without a paddle, because I'm kind of in the... I kind of feel the same. I feel the same way.
I still feel like R2-D2 and C-3PO should still be there, because they're robots and they can't die, but... Mm-hmm. Other than that, I would prefer them. No one else to be there.
Actually, I learned a cool thing today. Adam Savage of the MythBusters. That's kind of what kicked off the thought of expanding this show. He does a video podcast and audio for a site called Tested.com. It's a podcast I've really been getting into. He has a replica C-3PO, and this is totally off the subject, but who cares? You know what? It actually was mobile for a while, and you know what he used to make it mobile? The electric window roller motors out of a car.
Really?
Well, that's kind of cool. Now I want to play with electric window roller motors. See what I can get, you know, strap one to the neighbor's chihuahua, see if I can get it rolling around. I was going to add in,
I do share in your fear, Bruce, about them being too much in the forefront. Like, what I don't want is the Star Wars equivalent of Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I do not want that to happen because that movie is fucking awful, and
See, I
I don't
enjoy it.
want. Well, like, there might have been parts that were fun, but it's just so unnecessary and such a cash grab, and fuck, it's awful. I don't want that to happen to Star
In
Wars.
the lineage of Indiana Jones, it is horrible. As an entertaining popcorn flick, if you can compartmentalize or just love giving the finger to everybody and their grandmother like I can, it wasn't a great laugh out loud riot popcorn flick, but yeah, I mean it's in the pantheon of Indiana Jones, it's pretty horrid. And that's the trap when you bring back the older. I'm like Glacinator. They have written how many books about the Star Wars universe past the Empire's, past the first three movie settings, before the first three movie settings, after the last three, in between the two, you have so much to go with. That I'd love to see J.J. Abrams just go, you know what, fuck it, fuck it, fuck it. And, I mean, to me, because I'm such a chaotic bastard, I'd love to see, like, all the original characters last about 5 minutes and then get, like, I don't know, eaten by a bantha or something. Crushed by a walker. That, to me, would be awesome. Just, like, put a bow on it, you're done. Your generation's gone. We're moving on. Or show them in, like, the star, the Death Star retirement community or something. I don't know. Okay, so real quick, and then we'll get the flock out of here. Any final thoughts on the Star Wars stuff, or are we good?
I want to share with you my vision for what some of the a cool scene they could do with Leia. So there's I picture an assassination attempt of a senator, of a high-ranking senator by the Sith, the returning Sith, or some unknown assassins, and they come in and they go after her and they corner her, and just as they're about to jump and pounce and strike, she does this really quick little force move where she just catches them before they're able to stab her, and she says something to the effect of, my brother taught me a few things, kind of thing, because where she's the twin, like she would have some force, but not that she has a lightsaber or anything, but she has a few tricks up her sleeve, right? You know what I mean? This whoom, and then throw them back, and then in come the new Jedi come in and clean up the mess, right? And I just think that would be a really cool little cameo bit to do for her anyway.
It'd be awesome, but if you didn't set it up right and didn't explain it well enough, you'd have another midi-chlorian situation on your hands.
Now, this is the kind of audience who would understand the reference.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, they've never really explained the level of force connection between or family bloodline or midi-chlorians or chocolate-covered M&Ms or whatever the fuck causes it. Bad gas after taco night. I like it. I love the kind of audio storyboard and presentation, but I just it'd be cool, but it might lead to disaster. Glace, any final thoughts, and we'll get out of here.
I think the main thing they're going to have to address when making the new movies is the reasons why 4, 5, and 6 were so good, I think, compared to 1, 2, 3, is just the overbearing presence of the Death Star throughout the whole original trilogy. And I mean, you can't just have like, oh, by the way, there's another Death Star, Death Planet. It doesn't work that way. But they're gonna have to find some cinematic mechanic, to recreate that, that feeling of like just awesome like death creepiness that the original Death Star was.
Well,
So
oh, go ahead.
however they go about doing that, I don't care, but I feel like it's something like that should be there.
There is something to be said in another entire podcast, and Glacinator's got to go here in a second, so we're going to wrap it up. There is something to be said for the lack of depth in the enemy characters in the last three, or the bad guy characters versus the first three. That even though I enjoyed 2 and 3, I will admit there was some depth lacking there that could have probably helped that chunk of the franchise a lot compared to Darth Vader, the Emperor, blah 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 blah. And on that note, that's enough show. If you'd like to get in touch with us, we have a Facebook. It's WonderPod Online. Just search it. Send a friend request. Unless you're an obvious bot, we accept it. We have a website. It's wonderpodonline.com. It's where you can find this podcast. We post an embedded player on that bad boy, as well as other things. Sometimes by myself, sometimes by John, sometimes by Glace. It's really hit or miss because the website a lot of times is just a home for the podcast. Kind of all depends, so you got to check back often. We have YouTube channels, all those kinds of things. One with WonderPod Online. I posted a video there a week or so ago. It's kind of cute, twisted, and funny in my mind. Glacenator has a YouTube channel. Pat36Wii has a YouTube channel. We're on iTunes, obviously. If you don't like iTunes, there's archive.org. Both of those, you can just search WonderPod, although WonderPod is currently in the list of shows for iTunes. Thank you very much, Apple. We have Twitter. It's at WonderPod Online. And if none of that works for you, we have an email address. It's wonderpodonline@gmail.com. wonderpodonline@gmail.com. And if you want some more Twitter, you can follow me at ORIGIM, or you can follow John
at John Kehoe, JONKEHOE.
Until episode 152, where who knows what the hell it's going to be about because we haven't figured that out yet. I am Bruce McGee, and I am out of here. See you, people.
Cheers.
Goodbye.